I think it's the best platform for men or women, but especially women on LinkedIn. You know, it's not really a platform that's immature in the ways like Facebook and Instagram can be, with trolls and just nastiness, immaturity. LinkedIn is full of professionals. It's full of people who are representing a company. It's more of like a healthy debate, if anything, if there's going to be disagreements, but it's really full of professionals, and it's really the only social media platform with this many educated users on it with money. So I would especially say for female entrepreneurs, female business owners looking to promote their products, specifically B2B, if you're doing any B2B marketing on other platforms, but you're not doing any organic video on your LinkedIn, you're messing up big time, because the views are cheapest here right now, and the audience is the highest quality audience, and it is a professional platform, so you're going to be taken seriously.
I'm your host, Michelle King, and you're listening to The Fix, a podcast that shares the stories of women and men who are innovating and taking action to advance equality in the workplace and beyond. It's no secret that gender bias affects everything, from job applications to interviews and everyday office life. A new study shows that sexist norms also infiltrate the way men and women present themselves on the professional networking site LinkedIn. In 2017, LinkedIn analyzed over 141 profiles of its United States members to investigate differences in how men and women depict themselves online. The findings reveal that women promote themselves and their successes a lot less than men do. For example, men tend to include more information and promote their skills more aggressively, and they have larger networks than women. Men also tend to skew their professional brands to highlight more senior-level experience, often removing junior-level roles altogether. Women are more likely to have shorter profile summaries and include 11% fewer skills than men do on their profile. And this really matters, because if you have 5 or more skills on your profile, you're likely to receive 17 times more profile views. Put simply, to get access to greater networks and job opportunities through LinkedIn, you need to get comfortable sharing your skills and promoting yourself. But promoting yourself can feel uncomfortable, almost like you're bragging. And this is particularly challenging for women, because gender norms discourage women from being assertive or outspoken about their capabilities or achievements. So on today's episode, we'll be hearing from Shay Rowbottom, a LinkedIn content expert and influencer, who'll share strategies that all of us, but particularly women, can use to grow their LinkedIn profile and influence, but in a way that still feels authentic. If you have a LinkedIn profile, you might be experiencing gender bias and not even know it. Research conducted by LinkedIn in 2018 and 2017 found that recruiters are 13% more likely to click on a man's profile than on a woman's profile, even if they have similar qualifications and experience. This bias really limits women's career opportunities, which is further compounded by gender stereotypes. For example, women apply to 20% fewer jobs than men because women believe they need to meet 100% of the criteria to be considered for a job. However, men feel they're good enough for a job if they only meet 60% of the criteria. But this makes sense given that gender stereotypes ensure women need to continuously demonstrate their capability and outperform their male counterparts to be considered just as competent or capable. That's why LinkedIn is so critical for women, as it provides an opportunity to not only adequately showcase their skills, but also access career opportunities that appropriately match their capabilities. Here, Shay outlines how each of us can maximize our presence on the platform.
Believe it or not, I actually did not use LinkedIn much at all until last May is when I got on the platform. I owned a Facebook agency, so it was a digital agency that specialized in curating and licensing viral video clips, reselling them to large blogs on Facebook that needed video content. So that is actually where I come from, and that is where I learned everything I know about getting attention online and doing video for social media. It was actually last May of 2018 when I first posted my first original video on my LinkedIn page, because I was trying to get leads for my Facebook agency. So I, you know, hired like a LinkedIn trainer to help with my profile, get me jump started. And I started releasing my own videos, but I had this wealth of knowledge to pull from, having been in student mode for so many years studying viral videos. I was really able to take what I'd applied to my own personal brand. And then what happened very quickly, actually, on LinkedIn last spring, last summer when I started, was within 2 months of me releasing original video content consistently, I was doing about 3 original videos a week. But within 2 months, I had generated over 6 figures in revenue for my company. So it was a huge wake-up call. I was not totally satisfied at the last agency anyways, and I saw how much of an opportunity LinkedIn was, so I made the decision to resign. I sold some of my shares and decided to start a LinkedIn agency, basically doing a lot of the same stuff that I did on Facebook, only geared toward founders and executives on LinkedIn looking to become video creators to create a consistent stream of video content to attract consistent leads and get their target market's attention on LinkedIn. I mean, I think it's the best platform for men or women, but especially women on LinkedIn. You know, it's not really a platform that's immature in the ways like Facebook and Instagram can be, with trolls and just nastiness, immaturity. LinkedIn is full of professionals. It's full of people who are representing a company. It's more of like a healthy debate, if anything, if there's going to be disagreements, but it's really full of professionals, and it's really the only social media platform with this many educated users on it with money. So I would especially say for female entrepreneurs, female business owners, looking to promote their products, specifically B2B, if you're doing any B2B marketing on other platforms, but you're not doing any organic video on your LinkedIn, you're messing up big time, because the views are cheapest here right now, and the audience is the highest quality audience, and it is a professional platform, so you're going to be taken seriously.
An important part of achieving gender balance at work is addressing gender bias in the recruitment process. Research shows that when recruiters are searching for candidates and see a list of men and women, they tend to open men's LinkedIn profiles more frequently. However, after recruiters review a candidate's profile, they find women to be just as qualified as men and often reach out to both genders at a similar rate. This initial selection barrier to women's advancement is something that organizations need to tackle, and they can do so by removing key identifiers like names and photos from candidates' applications. In fact, LinkedIn also offers the option to disable viewing candidate photos within LinkedIn Recruiter. These are just some of the ways that organizations can ensure that candidates are evaluated on their competence and capability to do the job. Greater effort is needed from organizations to tackle this issue. But outside of this, Shay shares a few things that women can do to ensure their profile stands out.
If your page is not optimized, you lose. So that's a great place to start, you know, understanding your messaging, understanding how to communicate what problem you solve. You know, that's a big issue I see in general, just a lack of marketing, understanding a lot of titles on LinkedIn kind of like boast accomplishments, have some flashy awards, but they don't like clearly say like, what do you do? You know what I mean? Like, who do you help? Who's your target market? I want to know exactly. Because when your target market lands on your page and you're not clearly communicating to them that you solve their problem, you're going to miss out. So definitely it's a good place to start is the profile. It's making sure that's built out. It's professional. You clearly are communicating what it is you do, and you have a CTA that is very clear on where people can find you, how they can contact you, how they can follow you, that sort of thing. And then in terms of just like the video and getting started, creating videos for your brand to attract your target market and get leads off the LinkedIn platform, I would say this is a lot of what I teach in my LinkedIn video bootcamp, my program, because it's really the hardest step is starting for most people, especially with video, because video can be scary. So I always tell people like, look, no two people have the same walk of life. You've been in this industry. You have a wealth of knowledge to share. You have valuable wisdom. Your video content is going to make someone's life easier, and you not releasing it now is just preventing them from having that benefit of you doing videos. And so I think people, a lot of people, men and women for that matter, do have some level of like imposter syndrome or do kind of tend to lack confidence in their own craft. Some of them, you know, have been in the industry for decades and they still feel like, oh, I don't know if I want to get on camera and talk about this. It's certainly what LinkedIn wants, and they're trying to encourage their users to create more on the platform since there are a lot of idle profiles. So because of that, they're showing your video to a high percentage of your audience. It's very generous organic reach right now. You cannot get this reach on any other platform. And if there's only so few creators doing video, well, there's a good chance your video is going to actually show up in the feed. So, you know, I would never say it's easy to start. It is scary. It can be really uncomfortable for a lot of people. But I have found that once they get going, and especially if they're working with a coach like me who can guide them and make sure they're doing it properly, is very shortly after releasing videos, they'll see leads. You know, they'll get validation, people thanking them for the message, people messaging them saying that video made my life so much easier. And they'll get reach oftentimes. You know, they'll break into the thousands of views right away. So it's really inspiring to see that sort of switch in my clients when they kind of get in and they're doing it for a week or two and then they kind of get that motivation like, oh, wow, I see it now. You know, I can really do this.
Often the hardest part of social media is managing our own expectations or need for things to be perfect, especially when it comes to creating video content and sharing that online. Here Shay shares her advice for tackling this issue.
Done is better than perfect. And a big part of what I teach in my program is not having an overwhelming setup starting out. So a big mistake a lot of creators make is they decide, okay, I'm going to do video now, you know, and they start with this like high standard, like they buy a fancy camera, they hire a videographer, they get the lights, the setup, the whole shebang. And now what they're basically doing is making it much harder on themselves to sustain. And all you want to care about in the beginning is consistency. And the production value on social media is really not necessary. It's not television. It's not like you're paying a ticket to go to a movie and get that cinematic experience. You know, it's okay to shoot videos on your cell phone starting out. And if you can, you know, run them through a quick app and subtitle them quick, that helps too. But really just creating a setup that's easy so that you stay consistent. So that's why I always tell people, like, don't overcomplicate it starting out. Just use your cell phone and then we go from there.
Amnesty International teamed up with the Canadian-based AI company Element AI to investigate the abuse that women face online. It focused on 228,000 tweets sent to 778 women politicians and journalists in the United Kingdom and United States last year. The results were absolutely shocking. Women are receiving abusive messages on Twitter every 30 seconds. Online trolls disproportionately target Black and minority ethnic women. They are 34% more likely to be mentioned in abusive or problematic tweets than white women. In fact, 1 in 10 tweets mentioning Black women feature problematic or abusive language, compared to 1 in 15 for white women. Trolling is a significant issue for women to overcome. And while there's a lot that technology companies can and are doing to address this issue, Shay shares her advice for how you can navigate this challenge.
I have an interesting background. Actually, before I founded my Facebook agency at 23, I was a musician. So I was actually trying to make it as like a singer and a rapper. This was totally like pre-marketing, pre-business. So I did not actually know a lot about how to market my music or how to get myself out there. That's eventually what I learned through my Facebook company. But I will say having that experience being a musician helped a lot, because you get hated on a lot, especially being a white rapper girl. Like, I definitely got a lot of hate during that time in my life when I was trying to, you know, follow my dreams and get famous and, you know, do all that. I experienced awful, you know, trolls. I would say even probably worse than what I've experienced on LinkedIn thus far. And I think that really kind of broke me in just as a person in general to develop a thick skin and understand, like, look, people are going to hate you regardless. You could literally not even do what you want to do in life. You could pivot completely and just dedicate 100% of your time to pleasing others. And you'll still get hated on by someone. So what is even the point? You know, if I'm passionate about music, I want to do music, it makes me happy, screw all these people who are going to make fun of me. Like, I'm going to do it. And I think that just stuck with me. You know, I think I just kind of always had this roughness, this, like, I don't know, almost arrogance in a way. Not like I think I'm better than other people, but just like I am very used to taking criticism with a grain of salt from people. And I'm very used to people telling me what I can't do and telling me what's not possible. You know, I grew up in a really toxic home. There was a lot of abuse. There was no support. I was constantly told I couldn't do things that I wanted to. And it just developed this attitude in me where I went so far in the opposite direction. I decided to prove everyone wrong. I decided, you know, no hater or no criticism is going to waver me. And I think that really just stuck with me on LinkedIn. It's allowed me to grow a lot quicker than others because I see others pulling back from their content creation if they do get a little bit of hate, or maybe they release something pretty opinionated and it's controversial and they don't feel comfortable with like the controversy they caused. I don't really get fixated on that stuff at all. You know, I release content, I follow what works, I follow what doesn't work. If I release something and it gets an overwhelming negative response, people hate me for it, people unfollow me, I just move on. I just say, okay, you know, noted, like, study, this does that. Now moving on to the next, what else can I create? I don't get caught up in people that I'm going to offend, people that are going to hate on me or insult me. It's just the nature of social media, and the sooner that you can accept it's going to happen regardless, the healthier outlook you'll have on the whole thing, and it'll be easier to just maintain.
A key part of getting comfortable sharing content online is authenticity. Sharing your story in a genuine and open way that you're comfortable with allows people to connect with your message. Here, Shay shares her experience with this.
As a business owner, I've struggled a lot with anxiety and depression in my life. Business and being in such like a high pressure position running an agency at age 24, it almost made it impossible to ignore a lot of the demons inside of me anymore, because I was in such a high stress position every day that I started to really crack and I started to kind of hit rock bottom mentally. Like, not like financially, the business was fine, everything was good, but I got to a pretty dark place and I decided to open up about it on LinkedIn. And this was way back in the beginning, but you know, I was reluctant to do so. I felt like, is this a weakness? Is this going to turn people off? Are my business partners going to get mad at me? Like, what's going to happen? And what I found was really beautiful. It was like, well, first of all, it was like a super high performing video. It was the best video I had done so far at that time. Yes, I was saying like, hey, look, I still struggle with depression. I was asking for advice. Like, do any of you business owners struggle with depression? How do you deal with it? Like, how do you get through it? How do you just get up and go another day? You know, there were so many days I just couldn't even get out of bed. And I was met with so much support, but even further, I was met with so much in-mail from people who were also in the professional world and dealing with depression. And, you know, maybe they were married and they had kids and they just like felt so overwhelmed. And they were saying how refreshing it was to see my video, because they're like, I felt the same way and I've been afraid to talk about it. And, you know, thank you for giving me the courage to make the first step, that sort of thing. So it was really powerful. And I think what I've learned over time being so transparent on the platform is that social media in general is just starving for this. Like, there's so much of the highlight reel on social media and people only showing their best side. And I share that too. Don't get me wrong. I share the wins. I share the successes of my business, but I also share the struggle. I share, like, I don't feel great at this. I'll share like a bad business deal I got into, you know, I'll admit fault. And I think that has just done wonders for me, especially the mental health conversation. It's a conversation that's definitely becoming a priority in the business world. People are ready to talk about this. And that was, I believe, a big proponent in propelling my brand forward on LinkedIn. Was I was just one of the few people actually doing it and kind of giving people that space to say like, hey, it's okay and we're normal.
LinkedIn has been around since 2003. It is the global site for professionals, recruiters, and hiring managers. So if you don't have a presence on the site, you won't come up during searches. Having a LinkedIn account also means that you can use the site to research companies, interviewers, recruiters, and hiring managers. But this is just the start, because here, Shay clearly outlines why LinkedIn is not only critical for professionals, but also for businesses.
I like to use this analogy of the social media platforms and LinkedIn. My argument for why it's the best and the one that you should be investing the most time and energy into right now is because LinkedIn is the networking event of social media. like Facebook and Instagram, they're like the backyard barbecue. When you go to a backyard barbecue, you're not really in the mindset to do business. Versus when you attend a networking event, you're going there, going in, knowing, okay, I'm going to network, I'm going to do business, I'm going to get clients, I'm going to get vendors, whatever the case. So the mindset is different in the users that log into LinkedIn. A lot of them are on LinkedIn because they're already looking for a service provider to solve their problem. They're already looking to hire someone. They're already looking for a vendor, for all of these solutions for their business is why they're on LinkedIn. And the LinkedIn newsfeed has really just become like window shopping for like, what do you need? You know, you go to the mall, you don't necessarily know which store you're going to, but you know you need stuff. So you go to the mall, you window shop until you see a store you like and you walk in. The newsfeed on LinkedIn is like window shopping for businesses. You know, they see my content, they walk in, they click back to my profile. When they get to my profile, it's optimized. It's very clearly an ad for my video marketing services. They say, oh, wow, you know, I think I need video for LinkedIn. And boom, they reach out and they call me. So I definitely encourage business owners to keep that in mind. Like, again, I understand that the advertisement platforms are really built out on platforms like Facebook or Instagram. You can run awesome ads there. You can attract leads even for B2B, but LinkedIn is still a much more ideal audience for most of these professionals. So I always say, remember, it's like a networking event. You're at the networking event on LinkedIn. On Facebook, people probably don't want to be bombarded with your business ads. And then creating content on LinkedIn is basically like being given a speaking slot at the networking event for your business, being given, you know, a half hour speaking slot to say whatever you'd like, have a CTA back to your company. That is creating content on LinkedIn, and it's free. So like, you wouldn't turn down a speaking engagement at a networking event for your business. So why are you turning down, you know, creating content for the newsfeed on LinkedIn?
Finally, Shay shares the one strategy that everyone should adopt when building their online presence.
I really would just encourage people to be consistent. That's the one thing. You know, don't release one video and then stop. You're not going to see the results that way. You're not going to build a loyal following and brand that way. Just do whatever you can to stay consistent. And if you're feeling overwhelmed, like, you know, this is always like what people say, right? They're like, now's not a good time to start. I can't start. Well, just start, but start slow. Like, have like a slow goal starting out. Okay, I'm going to start, but I'm just going to commit to one video a week starting out. Well, one video a week is still consistent. So there you go. Maybe the first 2 months you do one video a week, you get your feet wet, then the next month you're up to two videos a week, and then three videos a week. And you'll slowly start to develop your own system for staying consistent. But that's actually the most important thing. So don't start off like five videos in week one and then you burn yourself out instantly. You know, don't do that. Just worry about consistency.
It always amazes me how gender bias shows up everywhere. Who knew that recruiters are less likely to review the profiles of equally qualified women on LinkedIn? While Shay shares important strategies that each of us can use to grow our online presence, it's equally important that companies take steps to combat online discrimination in the hiring process. I hope you found Shay's advice helpful. And if you're not already, I highly recommend following her on LinkedIn. Thank you for tuning into our episode today. If you're interested in partnering with us or being a guest on our show, please reach out through our website, thefixpodcast.org. You can also sign up to our weekly newsletter and contribute your story there. Thanks again, and I'll catch you all next week.
This show is produced by Human Group Media, an award-winning social good podcast company. Human Group Media works with thought leaders, brands, and organizations to inspire social change through the power of audio storytelling.